Everybody.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. That was much better. The mine was worse. Thank you, Avram. Baruch Hashem and Or Shlomo, we have had a lot of people. And every time we have a person that comes to speak in yeshiva, I get another opportunity to make an introduction. And I have learned that these introductions are what have changed your lives, have defined the speech. And they're always so short. I'll try to keep it short this time. That's what I said last time. Not many people are like our guest speaker, Rafi Chantal. We have people in our community. Sometimes you have a person that Hatzalah is a very special thing, very near and dear to his heart. A person feels like, I want to learn medicine. I want to become an EMT. I want to become a practical technician of a way to save a person's life. That's a magnificent thing. But then, that's not enough. Then there's something, a person says he wants to join Shomer. What is Shomer? A security force. People you can turn to sometimes. Police might show up. I remember my father used to tell me, my father's a friend of Racha, used to tell me that when Hatzalah started, the response time of the city, when you would call the city and try to get an ambulance or try to get somebody to help you, was at minimum 20 minutes. You could just imagine what would happen within those 20 minutes. And when Hatzalah came around, knocked it down to less than 2 minutes. A person can be heard here, boom, someone is there to save his life. And with Shomrim, suddenly the same happened. Now, with the police department, a person might call the police department and say, no, please come. Do they have enough cops? Are they that interested? Are they going to show up? We'll follow up. Maybe, or maybe not. We love the police. We support the police. But often, we need somebody else to show up. And if it's one of our brothers that's going to show up, I remember when Shomrim started, the person who taught me how to become a Balkari, he was on Shomer, his name's Chaim Fessel. He was on Shomer, so he got on his moped and like 50 people would show up to every Shomer call. But you have people who say, that's not enough. That's all not enough. Shomer's not enough. I gotta keep on going and going. If there's a problem in the Jewish community, I wanna be there. I can't be shy. I can't take a back seat. Sometimes you gotta put your face out there. Some people are not comfortable. Some people are not ready. But people step up. We have the schus to have somebody here who can tell you how to be a person that steps up, how to be a person that has fun, how to be a person that's normal.
Very tall.
Okay, tall, no, okay. So, but to how to be a person, one of us, but to do a little more all the time. If we can get that, we'll get a lot. I think we're going to get a lot more than just that. It's our schus, and Or Shlomo, welcome. Please, join us. Rafi Chantal.
Thank you, Rabbi Tappan. So I guess since the introduction is the most important part of this speech, and I already got not one but two rounds of applause, I think I could just sit down and that'll be good. It can only go downhill from here, right? So Rabbi Tappan gave me a very... I think tall order for his introduction. I don't know if I can accomplish all that. I don't know if I can speak to all that. I can only tell you my personal story of philosophy and why I've gotten involved in a lot of things. It's first and foremost, I just want to say that it's a pleasure to be here. A lot of the things that I've gotten involved in my life and my direction was actually from Rabbi Zakim's father. He's somebody that I grew up having a lot of respect for. I think the introduction gave me really applies to him in that exact way. A very fun, cool, normal guy who did an amazing amount of chesed, and most importantly, was proud to be a Jew. And I think that's really what I want to talk about now. And I think now more than ever that's apropos, especially for, you know, guys your age in New York City, in America, in 2024. So let's jump right into it. So unless you've been living under a rock, anybody who has access to TV, newspaper, smartphone, social media, you see what's going on every single day in the news. Every single day there are protests and counter-protests and people screaming anti-Israel and anti-Zionism, let me tell you, it's one thing and it's one thing only, it's anti-Jewish, right? Protesting in college campuses around the world, protesting in front of hospitals that have, you know, Jewish names, things that have nothing to do with Jews, nothing to do with Israel. You know, some deli in the middle of Pittsburgh that has the name Golden's Deli that serves tray food, and people are protesting in front of it. There's a war going on, you know, between Ukraine and Russia. I don't see anybody protesting in front of the Ukrainian grocery or the Russian spa. You know, they say China's taking over the world with TikTok. I don't see anybody protesting in front of any of the Chinese restaurants or saying not to order from Alibaba, despite maybe what the Senate was trying to do yesterday. So why is it? Why is it that only when Jews are involved, the whole world gets up in arms? Does anybody know what percent of the world's population Jewish people are?
0.2.
Take a guess.
Less than 0.2.
0.42.
0.2. Less than one half of 1% of the world's population. But if you were to watch anything on social media or ever turn on the news, you would think that Jews are 20-30% of the population. And there's actually been interviews going around with people interviewing people going, what percentage of the world do you think is, you know, the Jewish population? I mean, at the end of the day, we control the banks, right? We control the media. We control the weather even. How do we do that with just such a small amount of Jews? You would have to think we're this massive force of Jews. So if Jews represent 0.02% of the population, why is the world so concerned with what the Jews do or don't do, or who is a Jew or isn't a Jew, or why this tiny little speck of land when, you know, the Arabs have 23, 26, 27 countries, and there's this one little tiny sliver of land, smaller than the size of New Jersey, but the whole entire world is concerned about what's happening there. Ukraine and Russia, everybody forgot about what's going on in Africa, there are Uyghurs in China, nobody cares, it's a news story for one day or 2 days, nobody's worried about it. But this little sliver of land occupied by a few million Jews, and the world has been really up in arms about this for 60, 70, 80 years, pretty much, you know, here and there is a couple of weeks of quiet and then something comes up. So why do you guys think that is? Why is the world so obsessed with what the Jews are doing?
Because we're different.
You just said it. That was the key word, right? You say anti-Semitism, jealousy, you could put a couple of different terms in it. But the number one response that was given when people said, you know, what do you think about Jews?
Different.
Different bad, different good. Jews are different. That was the number one response from the Goyim when they were asked. So let me tell you something. I think the Goyim are 100% right. They hit the nail right on the head. We absolutely are different. Jews are different. We live differently, we eat differently, breathe differently, we think differently, we marry differently, we raise our kids differently. And I'm not talking about just from Jews. I'm talking about Jews as a whole. So what does that mean? So should we apologize to the world? Should we try to assimilate and be more like them? Or perhaps we go the other way. Because what makes us different? What makes us different is all those things that I just mentioned, and how we live our lives, and what we do. The rabbi was talking about Hatzalah, Shomrim, I can name Saskin, Chesed Shalemes, I can name 500 organizations. Jews have organizations for everything. We have organizations to help organizations. And to me, that's not something that I apologize. I don't say I'm ashamed to be Jewish. I apologize for being Jewish. The more you try to be like them, the less respect the world will have for you. We are different, and we should own up to that, and we should be proud of that, because it's only when we're proud about who we are that we will get respect from the Goyim. The world's split into two halves. There are those Goyim that are going to hate us no matter what. No matter what we do, no matter how we do, they just hate us because we are Jews. And then there are the Goyim who look at us and say, they're different. I don't mean bad or good. They're just different, so I don't know what to make of them. The people who hate us because they hate us, you know, they hate us because they ain't us. They're not going to change their opinion. And frankly, I don't get my validation from those people. But the other part of the world, the more you try to be like them, you can get up at the Oscars and you can say, I renounce my Judaism. Guess what? It's not going to make a difference. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew. You know who cares about the differences between the types of Jews, the difference between a Jew wearing a shtreimel, a Jew has a beard, a Jew has tattoos and earrings? Only one group of people care about that difference. Jews. Outside of Jews, nobody cares about if you're a Jew with a yarmulke or a shtreimel, or you're a Jew with, you know, earrings and completely, you know, tattooed from head to toe. We're the only ones that think that that makes a difference. To the goyim, a Jew is a Jew. You know who else didn't care about what level of Judaism you had?
Hitler.
You know who else didn't care about it? Hamas. When they came in on October 7th, and they performed some of the most horrific acts that the world has seen and has already very quickly pushed out of their consciousness, most of the people that Hamas killed and the people that they kidnapped weren't from these, they weren't settlers, they weren't people that were standing on a hill and living in trailers. These were more left-wing, quote-unquote, liberal or progressive Jews. These were the people that had, over the years, and when they interviewed them, they said, we opened our house to our Arab neighbors. We had them living with us. We were driving them to the hospital. These were people who had, for years, tried to befriend and work with the Arabs. But at the end of the day, Hamas saw a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. And it's only when we recognize that and own up to that will we understand what it means to be a Jew and the power that we have as Jews. In this week's Parsha, it says, right before Amrvi, it says, Vayaskol Yisrael, it's Kol Asher Tzivah Hashem, Lemosha, and talk about building the mission, it says that all of the Jews did what Hashem instructed them. So there's a question asked by the Aruch Chaim, what does that mean all the Jews did it? Meaning, yes, the Tzahal ran building the Mishkan and had a team under it, but not every Jew did participate in the building of the Mishkan, and certainly didn't do all the things that were told with the Mishkan. And the answer is, because all the Jews were together, they're all united in this effort, so they get a credit for doing everything. And the Mishkan, right, there was the Mishkan, and then there was the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. A lot more money was spent on the first Beis HaMikdash than was on the Mishkan. A lot more money was spent on the second Beis HaMikdash than was on the Mishkan. But the Medrash tells us what was the holiest place in the history of the Jews. What was the pinnacle of where we felt God's love and God's presence? The Mishkan. Not because it was the most expensive place, not because it was the most beautiful place, not because it was built by the firmest rabbis and the biggest tzaddikim and people who were so close to God. The reason why the Mishkan was special and singularly holy was because it says it was done by all the Jews together. Everybody participated in some way. Everybody wanted to be part of it. And that is what it means to be a Jew. Being a Jew and keeping the Torah is what our life is about. Thank you. But it says that there are 613 mitzvahs, and they correspond to all the bones and veins in a person equals 613. So every Jew has within them corresponding to all the mitzvahs. But there's a question, because it's not possible for anybody to keep the entire Torah, right? Why? Well, there's certain mitzvahs that are only for Kohanim. Certain ones are only for Levim. Certain things are for women. Certain things are for men. Certain things are only for people living in Israel. So there's no one person that can fulfill all the mitzvahs. So what does it mean to keep the Torah? And the answer is, that is the message in and of itself. Only when we're united together as one, when we're standing together, so, you know, that soldier who's standing on the border with a gun, he has a role to play. And the yeshiva boy who's sitting and learning, he has a role to play. And that guy who's going to work, he has a role to play. And that guy who's donating money to build the building, and that guy who's teaching, every person in the Jewish nation has a role to play, and it's only by them being connected together that we as a nation are able to fulfill our destiny, to fulfill our role to be, you know, a light among nations, and to be different in the best possible way. And it's only when we own our Jewishness that we will get respect from the goyim. The more we try to be like them, the more we try to assimilate and copy them, not they have respect for us, not they have love for us, the more disrespect for us they have. I can tell you my personal experience throughout the years. I've worked in a number of different industries. I'm involved in a number of businesses. After Simchas Torah, I got a call from a bunch of my ex-employees. I'm a chaplain for the police department. I got messages from a lot of police officers saying what happened, you saw how horrible it is, and we're thinking of you, and we're thinking of your family, and I know how much you care about your family and how you live your life. And all the comments were very, very positive. And they were all centered around, we know how you live your life and how much this must hurt you and how you care about your children, how you care about other people in the community because we've seen how you interact and how you run your business. I had a black guy who came from Haiti put up on his WhatsApp status, I will always stand with the Jews because when I came to America, the Tritel family, another family, the first ones to offer me a job and trust me and help me and provide for me and my children. And because of that, I will be universally grateful to them. A guy I hadn't spoken to in 5 or 6 years. But because I had treated him with respect, because I had treated him how the Torah taught me to treat him, how I treated him because how I'm a Yid, and so he saw how I speak, how I act, how I conduct my business, he had respect for me, and he felt respected, and so he stood up for me. Nobody said, oh, you know, I remember Rav Tritel throwing a great party, I remember that he drove a fancy car, and therefore I feel bad for him, or I respect him. It was, I remember Rav Tritel treated me with respect. He paid me a fair wage. He gave me opportunity. He spoke respectfully. He treated others well. It's when you live your life as a proud Jew, that is what the goyim react to. That's what makes them say, oh, it's not that any of these goyim said, oh, because he davens 3 times a day with a minyan, because he's sitting and learning. Yes, I hope that my children see that. I hope they respect that. But the goyim don't know what we're doing in our level of observance. All they know is how we're acting. And they know that I'm different. And people have commented, he works at a company. You and how your family acts is different. You and how you interact with your workers is different. You guys are different. My cousin in Lakewood went to open up a bank account the other day, and the story was going around. I know at first hand it was my cousin. And the banker, who was not a Jewish guy, said to him, okay, so here's the account, so that, and then you need the second account, right? So he goes, what are those? All you guys, you know, the Jew, when you open up bank accounts, you always open up a second bank account for the 10%, because you give the charity. He goes, not everybody, the rich guys, the poor guys, they all open up a second account. I promise you, it's my wife's cousin, to be clear. He's not a cool guy. Doesn't look like a cool guy. But this banker, who's a guy, has respect for him. Not because he dresses whatever is the most fashionable thing, not because he pulled up in the coolest car, but because he said, hey, I understand that to you and to your people, giving tzedakah is important, and that's how you live your life. It's not that you just say it, but you do it. There was a story going around about a supermarket, and there was a guy online, and the person in front of him, who's not Jewish, was short, like $2 to pay. So they started thinking, okay, I'm going to put this back, that back. This guy said, here, I'll cover the money. The cashier said that she'd been working in that store for 2 months, and it was the third time that had happened, that somebody paid for somebody else. And she goes, it was always one of you people. So just because somebody says you people or you guys, people think that's a derogative. I don't. When somebody talks about a Jew and says you people do this, I more often than not hear a positive, not a negative. And that's my message to you guys, and that's my message and how I interact with the guy. I'm a chaplain for the police department, and one of the things I do is I speak to them about interacting with Jews. And so over the years, I've gotten a lot of interesting questions, and they're not overtly or overly negative necessarily, but a lot of times the question is like, hey, what's the deal with you guys and women? Why are the women in the back? Or what's the deal with you guys and this, or the women have to do this, or you guys can't do that? So it's not said necessarily in the most like, hey, I want to understand, I want to learn. But how do I answer them? I tell them, yeah, very simply, officer, if you pull over, if you're a male, and the person you pull over is a female, if you're a female officer, you pull over a male, and they don't hand something to you, they put it down, because they don't want to have physical contact with you, that's not a sign of disrespect to you. You think, oh, I'm a woman, and he's a guy, and the Jewish guys have disrespect for women. I tell them, absolutely not the truth. They have respect for their wife, they have respect for their marriage, and they have respect that there's a separation between the sexes. So out of respect to the wife and to what goes on in their home, therefore there's a lack of contact, you know, with the female. So why are the women in the back? I said, the women are in the back of the shul, not because they're second-class citizens. We're not putting them in the back of the bus. I said, women don't need to pray with a minyan. You guys know that, right? Because a lot of only guys need a minyan. Why doesn't a woman need a minyan? Tell them, it's actually because a woman's on a higher spiritual level. I said, guys need other guys to be with them. You know, guys, listen, we always want our guys around us, right? We need our guys around us to talk to God. We're afraid to talk to God one-on-one. Women are on a higher spiritual plane. When you take time to explain it, and more importantly, when you accept it and understand it and live it and say, you know what, I'm not going to be embarrassed that I'm a Jew. I'm not going to walk around and take off my yarmulke in public. Just opposite. I'm going to wear my yarmulke. And if I'm embarrassed to be wearing my yarmulke, then maybe it means I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've traveled all over the world. I've been to Arab countries, I've been to Russia, I've been to Africa. I always go with my yarmulke, and I've had some of the most amazing experiences in my life walking around wearing a yarmulke. I was in Rome. A police officer stopped me and said, "Hi, I'm looking for a carriage ride." He goes, "Oh, you need this guy. Why?" He goes, "This is a Jewish horse." What does that mean? The carriage and the horse came over. I'll show anybody pictures who want to see it. Screwed in was a little metal plate into the carriage with tefillah sederach. The horse driver tells me, he goes, oh, my family has been here. He took out a siddur, Nusach Romi. He goes, my family has been here for 1,400 years, Jewish guy. I got into a taxi cab. The guy tells me, you're in the most famous taxi in all of Italy. I said, okay, great, what does that mean? He goes, no, you understand, I've been interviewed, I've been on TV. He's a celebrity in Italy. It's called the singing taxi cab driver. He had Yo-Yo Ma, he had rock stars, and he gets people to sing with him, and he videos it, and he has a massive following, and he's been on a bunch of TV shows in Europe. He says to me, you know what my favorite song is? He started playing Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech. Jewish guy. I had a woman walked up with me and just started screaming at me in Ivrit and gave me a gift. She goes, you're walking around with a kippah, good for you, you're proud. Here's a gift for your wife. Don't be afraid to be a Jew. Don't be embarrassed to be a Jew. Don't try to hide your Jewishness. The way to get people to respect you is to own up and say, yes, I am different. I live my life a certain way, and because of that, I'm proud of it. Almost every business that I've gotten into, in restaurants, in real estate, in nursing homes, they were all opportunities that I got because of people that were part of the community that I'm part of. People I met in shul, people that I lived with. You know, somebody asked, what's the secret to success in the Jewish community? I said, the secret to success in the Jewish community is we build each other up. We stick with each other. In the Goyish world, when somebody makes money, the first thing they do is they move out of their neighborhood and they move to a better neighborhood, a nicer neighborhood. A shul is probably the only place in the world that you can go to and you can have a table with five guys sitting on it. One guy could be worth $50 million and one guy could be worth $50,000. They're sitting in the same shul on the same table, eating the same chunk at Kogel, and listening to the same speech from the rabbi. But that gives that guy access and opportunity that a typical person doesn't have. The typical guy doesn't have access to a guy with a massive amount of capital, or a guy who owns, you know, 50 nursing homes or 400 apartment buildings. So when he says, hey, I have an idea, I want to sell a product into the nursing home. Hey, I have an idea, I want to get this. All the time I get calls from people saying, hey, I have this and this idea or this and this product. Can you use it? Or I say, I'll send it to this guy, to this guy in shul. To me, shul is a massive opportunity to connect with people and to grow and to help each other. And I think that's really the hallmark of the Jewish community, more than any other community I've ever seen. We try to help each other out, and we try to lift each other up. And if you take that on and you realize how lucky you are to be Jewish, how proud and benched and blessed we are, that we have the opportunity to be part of such an amazing, amazing group of people that will stand with us and will help us whenever we need. Up until October 7th in Israel, we were heading for what looked like a civil war, right? I mean, the fighting that was going on between the religious and the not religious. Just this past Yom Kippur alone, they came in Tel Aviv in the square and they disrupted Yom Kippur davening. They turned over chairs this on the holiest day of the year, because that's the level of fighting and animosity and hatred there was. And October 7th happened, and what? We realized at the end of the day, you know what? It happens all the time. Everybody here is part of a family. You fight with your brother, you fight with your sister, you fight with your mother, you fight with your father, God forbid. But we're a family. We can fight amongst each other, right? I can make fun of my brother and he can make fun of me. But when the bully up the street starts up with my family, we're a family and we're together. That's what it means to be Jewish. It doesn't mean to be the firmest guy, the biggest tzaddik, the hardest learner. It means a Jew is a Jew is a Jew, and that Jew with the tattoos and the earrings, and that Jew who's sitting and learning, they're brothers. And when a push comes to shove, that's who's going to have your back. There's only two things that are going to save us and keep us and let us keep going. The fact that Jews exist is a miracle. The fact that the Jews, there's no other nation in the history of the world that has been through what we've been through and survived. I mean, right? What's the explanation I tell cops? You want to know the synopsis of how to explain every yomtiv in one line? They try to kill us, they didn't succeed, let's eat. That's Hanukkah, Purim, Sukkot. You know, every yomtiv is some group tried to kill us, they didn't, all right? Shul meal. But it's a miracle that we still exist. There's no other nation that's gone through so much, been thrown out of every country, right? Look at every big empire in the world, right? Rome, Greece, Egypt, yeah, so there's a country Italy. That's not the Roman Empire. There's a country Greece. That's not the Greek Empire. There's a country Egypt. That's not the Egyptian kingdom. Spain, Europe, England, they've all come and they've all gone. And the Jews are still here. And not only are we still here, we're succeeding. We said that the Jews are 0.02% of the world population. Does anybody know what percentage of the Nobel Prize winners in the history of the world, the 965 Nobel Prizes given, including the one that was given to Arafat for peace, which we'll even count that one, even though I say it should be canceled, but okay. What percent of winners are Jews?
14.
Nope. 85.
No, that would be 20, 22%. 1,000 times 0.02%. So our impact, the 22% of the Nobel Prize, of the 965 Nobel Prizes that have been given out to Jews. 1,000 times more than our percentage of the population is our percentage of Nobel Prize winners. That's who we are. We absolutely are different in the best possible way. And owning that, and respecting that, and living that is what's going to keep us going. It's when we try to apologize for it, it's when we try to hide it, that's when it backfires on us. The most assimilated culture in the history of the world was Jews in Germany, and look what happened. You know, Jews in Rome, and look what happened. When we try to hide our Jewishness, when we try to say we're going to be more like you, they don't respect us. They say, you're embarrassed to be who you are. If you're embarrassed at being a Jew, of course we don't respect you for being a Jew. But when we stand up and say, you're right, we are different. We are principled. We do live our lives in a different way. We do hold different things to be important. That's when you get the respect of the Goyim. And those who hate us, you know what? They're going to continue to hate us. So what? But never give in. Never be embarrassed. Just the opposite. Now more than ever, with the anti-Semitism that's going around, we know that there's only two things we can rely on. It's Hashem and each other. Right? Israel is the most mighty army with the most sophisticated border in the world. Nobody thought that they could suffer the loss that they suffered never on October 7th. But you see, at the end of the day, it's up to Hashem. If our answer is, hey, we don't need God, we can do this, we can do this on our own. It's not a matter of being Jews. We're not Jews because Hashem told us. We're successful because we're better fighters, because we have better weapons, we have this. That's not what's going to help us to survive. It's only Hashem and each other when we're together. When Am Yisrael is together, when we are one, nothing can stop us and nothing can defeat us. When we're fighting with each other, that's when we become vulnerable to others. Believe me, the Goyim are not going to rescue us. This guy who got up by the Oscars and renounced his Judaism, I guarantee you, the Goyim are not embracing him tomorrow. And push comes to shove, when he's in trouble, the only people that he's going to be able to count on are the Jews. And so we have to know now more than ever with everything you see going on, and it's tough. And on social media, we're being constantly and relentlessly attacked, and there's all these lies and propaganda that's going out there. So it's easy to say, you know what, I want to hide, I want to put on a baseball cap, I want to throw on a jacket, I want to hide who I am. That's not going to give you safety, and it's not going to get you further, and it's not going to get you the respect of the Goyim. It's when I say no, I will show you what it means to be a Jew, despite what they're saying in the media, despite what they're saying on social media. I will live proudly as a Jew, and by example, I will show you what I do. You know, there was a guy driving on the road, and he saw a guy pulled over, you know, with his hood up on his car, wearing a yarmulke. So what do you do if you see another Jew on the side of the road stuck? Pull over, you give the guy help. He says, okay, this, I'm going to drive you to the body shop, the next exit, we'll get off. I started talking to the guy, and like the whole conversation, you realize, like, something was off. Like, where do you live? He's like, somewhere place. Where are you this? Where are you that? And like, the whole conversation seemed a little weird. So he said at one point, like, excuse me, like, I don't mean this insulting, but like, are you Jewish? So the guy goes, no. She goes, well, why are you wearing a yarmulke? He goes, oh, I drive up and down this highway all the time. And every time I see one of you people is the most common phrase you're going to hear. One of you people wearing a yarmulke and stuff, I see four or five guys pull over right away. He goes, it's better than AAA's. He goes, so I keep one in the glove compartment in case I ever need help. That is the reputation that Jews have, and that's what they're going to know. Yes, they can scream and they can rant and they can rave, but it's jealousy. It's not based on fact, and most of them know it. And the ones that are brainwashed, unfortunately, you know, that's what they're getting fed by people who have an agenda. But it's who we are that is going to keep us going. It's who we are that's going to get us the respect from the Goyim. And as soon as we start compromising who we are, really, what are we? And if there's one message I want to give you now more than ever, it's now is not the time to shy away. Now is the time to be proud, to be a Jew. So I want to leave you with a question, which is, what do you think it means to be Jewish? And I don't think the answer is sitting in shul or sitting in yeshiva and learning. What do you think it means to be a Jew? What is the mark of a Jew?
Proud and say it out loud.
Okay, one thing, what are you most proud of? What do you think defines
kindness?
Kindness.
Good heart.
Good heart.
I'm still thinking that you come back.
Thinking, by the way, is one of the hallmarks of a Jew. I can say, we are very, very thoughtful people in the book. We like to learn. Everybody think about what you most identify as being a Jew. What do you think it means to be a Jew? What do you think is a trait of a Jew? And maybe say, I'm going to put a little bit more effort. I'm going to put 5%, 10% more effort in pushing that forward, in being a little bit kinder, a little bit prouder, a little bit more thoughtful. I'm going to pick one facet of my life where I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to try to do a little bit more to reinforce my Jewishness, to be proud of my Jewishness, to be an example to, first and foremost, my friends and family, other Jews, but then to all the goyim in the world and show them, yes, I'm a Jew, yes, this is what it means to Jew, be a Jew, and yes, I'm proud to be a Jew, because that is what's going to keep us going. I didn't cover a lot of the business topics, and I'm happy to hang around for a few minutes if anybody has questions that I can answer, but I really felt that this was a very important message.
How many jobs do you have?